There's something with that. We're going to have Dr. Jared Ziegler deal with that.
Our Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we come to thank Thee for this gathering. We thank Thee for the message that this our brother has upon his heart for this crucial hour. We thank Thee for the ears that will hear this message in the following moment. With our hearing, the faith that will spring in their hearts to bring forth results against this wicked generation. We are grateful this afternoon for the opportunity and the privilege of knowing who we are and where we are, but most of all that we have the ability to assume the responsibility to carry through for you today. So in this moment, let the divine unction of the Holy Spirit settle upon this congregation and upon thy minister, and let him speak as of the oracle of God. Let the divine equation of light rest upon him and give him strength and touch his voice and undergird him with a special unction of power. In Jesus' name, amen.
We turn this afternoon into the subject, the secret of victory. Probably there has never been a period more important to you and I in the adjusting of our thinking and in our outlook upon the situations that now surround the nations of thy kingdom throughout the world than to know what the key to actual survival and victory is for each one of us as the children of God. We have been speaking to you on numerous subjects that relate to you as the individual, relate to your spiritual capacities, your origin, and the things that are most significant for you to know. And so we turn for one moment to the words of the Apostle Paul based on a deep range of experience which he's had. Experience different than most people have experienced because he has existed in the earth, he has passed into the dimension of spirit, he's returned back to the physical world, and he knows that he's been in the planes of spirit, but he doesn't know whether he's been with his body or without his body. And so he said that concerning himself, whether in the spirit or the body, I cannot tell, but God knoweth. But in this experience which he had brought to his consciousness and to his remembrance things which he had known in the planes of spirit before the world was framed, things which God wanted him to remember, wanted him to tell his household and his children. And so within this instance, he had made him his special apostle. And God had declared, Thou whose name I have changed from Saul to Paul, behold, thou hast been with me even before the worlds were framed. He said, These you see coming and going from all over the universe are my children, thy kinsmen. And I have brought you here that you might remember and that you might tell again the children of my household my purpose for the earth. For what I have determined and what I have ordained, I shall bring to pass. And the kingdom which I have established shall rule from one end of the earth to the other. And the nations which are thy household and which will be of thy kinsmen shall stand with thee as thou shalt testify in the earth again. And then he told the Apostle Paul that he had been brought into the heavenlies that he might understand these mysteries. He was told also that the things which had been brought to his remembrance were mysteries which were necessary for the peoples of God's kingdom to know. So with this, again, we bring to your attention these words which come out of the book of Ephesians. And while we have mentioned this to you before, we think it's essential that you know this. It's essential that every white man understand it, that every Christian come to its realization. For it is significant that we know this. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. There are a lot of people who have been viewing the things that have been happening and see the world order apparently rising to greater power. watch its strange and evil influences in their creation of the world government and the United Nations and their extending power against the peoples of God's kingdom. And as they watch and see these things and see the enemies of God's kingdom, the unassimilatable children of Lucifer, fist calming their way into every nation, and even reaching the point where we can appoint 75 out of 116 to high positions of government under misguided administration in our own nation. They say we are failing. The powers of darkness are on the increase. And how long would it be before the whole light goes out? Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. The world order is not only going to be crushingly defeated, but the powers of darkness are going to be swept out of power in every corner of the earth. You must know that the most powerful force in the world today is your ability with the faith, which is the living, conscious application of the thought and mind of God, of the things He's made known to you even before the foundation of the world. It's to put these things into operation, to see them, to visualize them, to look at even at the things in your environment as already defeated on the basis of these promises. You know, there are some things that we need to know. And they have been told the Apostle Paul. They were made known in his epistles. They are secrets of the Most High. One of the things which we have mentioned to you in Colossians, and Paul said in this first chapter, I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid through the ages and from the generations is now made known to all of his believing offspring, is now manifest in his believing offspring, to whom Yahweh would make known what is the riches of His glory, the mystery among the nations. It is the Christ that is in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, the Apostle Paul makes such a declaration. I want you now for one moment to think in terms of the opening of this first chapter of the book of Colossians. As the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, by the very will of all deity, makes this declaration to all the believing offspring and all the faithful brethren in Christ. And as he speaks, he said, that ye might be strengthened. Now listen to this. That ye might be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, unto all long-suffering, and with complete joyfulness, because you know and you believe everything that He's promised He's going to do. And give thanks unto the Father that hath made us meet to be partakers while in this physical body with the inheritance of His believing offspring in the light. Now this passage is badly mistranslated, but the fact remains that it still is there for the student with spiritual vision and understanding. When it says that you might be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, and even already accepting joyfulness, it's talking about you in your physical body, having all might strengthened in that physical body, and giving thanks unto the Father that He hath made you in this physical body meet partakers of the inheritance which belongs to your spiritual nature, the believing offspring of God that dwell in the light, the saints in the light. How someone thinks that's just the light of understanding, but that's the effulgent light of your divine nature. The Apostle Paul, who told us in Corinthians, there is a physical body and there is a celestial body, and that one body differs from another body in its brilliance, in its radiation, in its light. And therefore, because of this, as we mentioned last week, the Apostle Paul had been told in the heavens that what God had purposed to do, He was going to do, that He'd sent His own children out of the heavens into the earth to do this, and they were going to do that task if He had to send them back to finish it and resurrect them to do that task. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And so because of this, he realized that not being clothed with all the glory and all the light that belonged to the children of God, they were not measuring up to the full power which was their capacity. And having been taught this in the Spirit, the Apostle Paul makes this declaration. He says, I know that I have got this body, and if this tabernacle or body I'm living in were dissolved, that I have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. As we told you a week ago, this wasn't a mansion put together by carpenters or masons or jewel setters anywhere in space. This was not because it couldn't be done, because throughout the universe there are all kinds of structures and buildings. But Paul wasn't talking about it, and that's why he said it wasn't made with hands. Talking about a celestial body like the physical one. As the physical one had been begotten of Adam, the celestial one was made of light and of energy and of spirit and had been begotten of God. He knew that there was a connection between that celestial body and his consciousness of his soul. He also knew that at one time, because God had shown it to him again, your race, the race of Adam and Eve, the race from whence you have come, were enveloped in that light. As long as they were enveloped in that light, no sickness, no disease, no power could touch them. Death would never descend upon them. Their violation of divine law, the seduction of Eve, this conspiracy of Lucifer to destroy that race, your race, in the hour of its beginning, had caused them to lose that light which surrounded and gave their physical bodies immunity. But it didn't separate that light in its connection with the inner being, or its eventual ability to envelop and to cover with glory. Thus it is the Apostle Paul, understanding this, knew that there was coming such a day. He said, therefore, I'm waiting that I might be clothed upon with my celestial house. He says, I don't want to die. Some people misunderstand Paul. He said he couldn't wait. He was vibrating to be clothed, that he wouldn't be found naked. In other words, to be enveloped in the light and glory. He was talking about his physical body. If this physical body dissolves, if it falls apart, my consciousness is instantly in a celestial being, in a celestial body, a body of light in eternity. But he says, don't think because I want to be covered with that light that I'm wanting to die. I don't want to die. I want that light to envelop this body. And knowing that, he knew that it was the power of unquestioned strength as a divine son. And so therefore, he said he prays for the strengthening with all might and power, with all glorious power, that all of the children of the Most High could give thanks unto God, that they could thus be strengthened and empowered with the inheritance which their physical body actually has in the celestial birth and the light which it involves. Now we want you to know that he continues to make this real and understandable. For Paul then said, knowing that the body of the man Christ Jesus was the image of the invisible person of his own nature, the fullness of God dwelling bodily in him, the body of the man Christ Jesus was only the physical manifestation of the invisible God of which it was the image. So also your physical body are the embodied house you dwell in, to be charged with light and glory. Dwelling inside is the spiritually begotten child of God. Every man of the white race is an offspring of the Most High, spiritually begotten. It dwells in this physical house. And we are in the climax of an age when it is to be empowered with glory and with majesty and with light. And the Apostle Paul wants you to know some things that are most significant. The most powerful force in the world today is God's kingdom, and the great spiritual center of it is his church. To enter into that church is a matter of birth. You didn't come into that church by joining an organization. We have a lot of things which we're told today. Churches all over have many ways in which you join the church. Now, we're not against churches. They're the outward organization symbol of a great spiritual power, much greater than the thing they represent. In most instances, they have formulas for its entrance, and they have formulas in how you get in. Some of them think that they could eject you out of it. But the great spiritual center of God's kingdom, the church of the living God, is made up of all of his sons, begotten of the Spirit, conscious of that in a physical world. The difference between children of his Spirit that make up his nation and the church itself is the churches are conscious of their sonship. The strange pattern today which they've taught is that all you have to do is say that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then you follow through a formula, you're baptized in water, your name is written on the church book, and you're a Christian. Well, it may well be true that if a man does believe that and has fulfilled these things, he is a Christian. But you did not, my friends, become a Christian or become by any measure a member of the Church of the Living God by that process. You were begotten by God's Spirit, and his Spirit quickened your consciousness, your responsibility, and you were a functioning spiritual center of God's kingdom. I want you to know that every individual who is begotten of God in the ages before the creation of this earth is of the household of God and is therefore a spiritual son. Now you're in trouble every once in a while. You're in trouble because of the errors physically committed. You're in trouble because the thoughts are not synchronized always with the thoughts of God. But I'm going to tell you something about the celestial being that is with you. This child of spirit of the Most High, this celestial body that you had before the world was framed, it's with you. It's close to you. It's tied by spirit and light to the seat of your consciousness. That spiritual being and that spiritual mind has never sinned. That spiritual body is under no condemnation. It is as incorruptible as the day it was begotten. Do you think you could corrupt something that was incorruptible? You've been born of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. That's why John, writing over in John, makes this statement, and it's a mystery that must be entrusted to your thinking. And with it comes a realization of victory. In the third chapter of 1 John, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Oh, you say, well, I happen to know people that are Christians and they're making mistakes and they transgress and they violate principles and laws. And I know that every once in a while I see something to you, you say it's a sin. But let me tell you something. You can't see the thing which was born of God in the Spirit. You can't see that. All you're seeing is the physical house it lives in. I'm going to tell you that the Spirit has never transgressed. The Spirit has eternal life, and you're going to be pretty happy about that. There isn't anything that can happen to you that will leave a place for your soul consciousness to dwell, because your Father has prepared it that way. So he that's born of God, the celestial, spiritual child, the word saint means breathing offspring, he cannot sin, for God's seed remains in him. You can't take it away. You can't drive it away. No one can steal it. No one can pluck it out of the Father's hand. This is an eternal process. And when you know that, you realize that you're a part of the process of eternity. Now we know there's trouble in the world. One of the most important patterns of thinking today is to see and survey this trouble and to be downcast. You know, somehow I can't be downcast by even the troubles which are in the world, because I know the end from the beginning and I believe God. I want you to think in terms of your nature, your origin. I know I'm a son of the Most High. I know I was with him before the world was framed. I know, as he said over here in Ephesians, that he's already blessed me with all spiritual blessings in him before the world was framed. Do you think I'm going to be cast down in a world which my Father has given I and all of you, my relatives, to take over? Do you think I'm going to be cast down at the temporary victory of the power of the beast? Why, it tells me in the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation that I therefore saw a sea of glass mingled with fire. This word meant a great, effulgent, radiating, shimmering platform of light. It was almost like glass, translucent with glory. And I saw there that there were upon it a great number of people. And these people had already gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, as they stood upon his great sea of effulgent glory. And they were filled with joy. And they were playing on the harps of God the glorious songs of victory. Now, this is what John saw. He saw you. He saw the race you are a part of. He saw the celestial household of the Most High. And they had victory over the beast. And they had victory over his mind. And victory over his name. And victory over his conspiracy. And therefore, I look out upon his temporary triumph. And I'm not going to be cast down, for I'm going to synchronize my thinking with the thinking of the Most High. And now I'm going to tell you where your strength is. Deep inside of you is a celestial consciousness which feeds in from the celestial mind of the spirit being. It inspires and moves your soul consciousness if your soul consciousness will look for it. The key, my friends, is not to permit just the things your eyes see and read in the newspapers, on television, the radio, to fold and complete your thinking. Don't, my friends, let the things which look like the victory of the enemy or even the processes of his temporary periods of rise and power, do not let them control your soul consciousness or you'll be cast down. But start to draw and think in the point where you meet God in this temple that he calls your body. For your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means, therefore, that the Spirit that resides in you and the Spirit that is in that tabernacle was begotten of God, for only that which proceeds forth from him is holy. And therefore, this body is your temple, and all of the children of God joined together make a holy temple unto God, living stones fitly framed together. And therefore, inside of your being, spirit, soul, and body, which is not only a mighty and triumphant temple to God, is an inner holy of holies, where your celestial consciousness and your mind is synchronized with the mind of the Father and knows all things. Your soul consciousness can draw out of it as much knowledge and inspiration as you will go in to find. The outer court must be evaluated with a knowledge of spirit that transpires the acceptance of what some people think in the voice of the world order is finality. Let me tell you, therefore, the Apostle Paul was to tell us concerning the fact that the glory, the power, the soon coming effulgence of majesty that shall spread over you is deep down within, waiting to come up and rise upon you and cover you for an hour of victory. Now I want to turn back to something that God showed to Psalmist David when he was overwhelmed with the spiritual consciousness of God, where the Holy Spirit of God activated the celestial spirit within him, and he started to see and talk and speak the words of God. And he says in the 91st Psalm, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's where your spiritual consciousness dwells, in the Holy Holies, where God's eternal mind is synchronized with your spirit. Now therefore, as you reach in for the guidance of such inspiration, you are beginning to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Every word that God utters is a covenant of surety. Every promise which He has given you is absolute and final. Therefore I will say unto Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress. This, my friends, to your consciousness, to your soul. Someone said, well, I don't need any weapons, and we don't need any armies, we don't need any nations, then all I've got to do is dwell here. God wants your soul consciousness to dwell within the knowledge of this eternal security of your spirit, of this power which is to be bestowed upon your being, of this glory to be revealed even in your body. And He wants you to occupy and build nations and organize armies as well as all the other processes of a kingdom. Because you came to earth to occupy it. You came to earth to overthrow evil, and I'm going to assure you, this decade is not going to pass away until His saints have put on glory, and until the people of God's kingdom have destroyed the powers of darkness, and there will not be one son of Satan and one force of evil that will dominate this nation or any collection of the nations of God's kingdom anywhere upon the face of the earth. You may think that that has no relationship to this, but it's the mysteries of His Spirit and of His wisdom and of His power that will come out of the secret place that is going to be great and powerful. And out of this secret place of the rule, the power of the throne, as Jeremiah says, the secret place of the lion. Let me tell you that you are the children of the Most High with His destiny. No wonder, therefore, God can make this declaration that He's going to deliver you from the snare of the fowler, even from the noisome pestilence, and there's nothing more noisome than this pestilence that's invaded our country with its power of darkness. He said He's not only going to protect you, He will with His truth, and His thou shalt trust His truth, it shall be thy shield and buckler. That's knowledge, that's wisdom out of the mind of God. You need not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. There are no rockets, no jets, no missiles that will destroy. And the pestilence and the germ warfare that they can use against you, it will have no power against you in that hour. No destruction shall be wrought against you if you are dwelling in the secret place. If you were aware, you were a son. If you're claiming your promises, and then you're utilizing the mighty catalyst of power that comes from God's kingdom. 1,000 can fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and no harm shall come nigh thee. They won't hurt you, but with thine eyes, you are going to behold the reward of these evil powers. Because thou hast made Yahweh, which is thy refuge, and the Most High thy inhabitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall the plague come nigh thy dwelling. And He shall give His angels charge over thee. It's a well-organized kingdom. If you could see the angels that were in this room, it would be an eye-opener to a lot of people. It would be one of the most important things. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You're surrounded by divine power. You're surrounded by archangels, and you're surrounded by angels of every status, intelligent beings with unusual powers, and have powers bestowed upon them for the strength of God's kingdom. Therefore, we note this. In the 15th verse, He said, therefore, He shall call upon Me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. But you say, well, now we've got God's promise that even though they attack us, or they would bomb us, or they would come against us, these things still fail because God's ordained it. But to the person that's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, he can dwell in the midst of these situations, and he's not downcast by any prophecy he sees, because you live in terms of prophecy. You live in terms of vision. You live in terms of expecting each day to see certain things come to pass that the Scriptures have unveiled will come to pass. And then you prepare to make war against them with spiritual instruments and weapons, with material weapons, with voice, with truth, and with power. And you determine to make war against them with armies and with technology as well. Now, every once in a while, some Christian gets on cloud nine, and he doesn't think that the kingdom of God, made up of nations, will use armies and weapons. Well, he'd better read his Bible again, because some of the cities of the enemies of God's kingdom will turn to powder and dust. And if you think that all the victory is a spiritual victory, then let me tell you, when you transfer the power of God's will to earth, it is a spiritual victory in a physical world. I want you to turn for one moment to the 25th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and you're thinking, O Lord, Thou art my God. O Yahweh, Thou art the Eternal. I will exalt thee, and I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, thy faithfulness and thy truth. Thou hast made of a city a heap, and of a defense city a ruin. And thou hast caused the palace of strangers to be no city, as though it was never built and it should never be built again. You know, I'm bringing this out especially this morning because the United Nations is the palace of strangers in your land. It's the power of evil and of Antichrist. This very week, they have been discussing in some of their departments how they're going to redistribute people all over the world. Still talking about it. They've been talking about Montana and Wyoming and Idaho and other parts of the nation as though they've got a right to divide up your nation or send people into your household anywhere. No, this wasn't on the agenda of the General Assembly. There are committees at work talking about it this week, even giving it a certain amount of publicity in papers. There are preachers today who have been taken in and think they preach the gospel, and they said, we must share, we must enfold, we must bring in, we must keep everybody happy. And their plan is to bring 50 million unassimilatable strangers into your land. That's why the palace of strangers is set up there. And when they came in, they wouldn't be any better off after they arrived here, and you wouldn't either. They would be a destruction. The same kind of ground is here that's over there. The same kind of rain comes down on it. They wouldn't grow any more groceries in those states of yours that they moved into than they grow at home, because they just don't have the initiative and the vision. They serve idols. They serve devils. They worship gods that are no gods, and there's no blessing that comes upon them. And that's why God has ordained and warned you that you're not to permit a thing like this to happen. The palace of strangers. In fact, as the Russians were making their threat, and Red China was telling us this week that she would condescend to coexist with us if we let her into the United Nations right now. Now, we don't need any condescension from a lot of people that don't have intelligence enough to feed themselves to worship devils or no gods at all, because there's nothing, my friend, that they can bestow upon us but trouble. Now, therefore, this is another one of those programs, the Palace of Strangers. And they're beginning to say now, they'll lessen up the tension. They will go easy on white men who are Christians that dwell in Berlin if we'll consider possibly letting the powers of the Red Chinese in, if we'll deal with the devil. My friends, the great victory which you possess is a dot going along with the threats of the enemy, not fearing the enemy, nor knuckling under his pressure, but fulfilling the destiny clearly in your mind and in the vision which God gives you, which makes no deal, no arrangement with the enemy. Oh, they say that they will be a holocaust, they'll bomb us out, they'll destroy us, they'll capture us, but that's because they do not know what you know if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. For my Father, the Eternal, said, I'll not only give you strength, I'm going to give you might, and I'm going to give you power, and your flying sword will wreak destruction upon the enemy, but I'll send in spiritual power and spiritual forces. And I, God, using you, who make up my body in the world, I am going to make up the defense cities of thy enemies heaps of rubbish. I'm going to make the palace of strangers set up in your country, smashed and destroyed, and it shall never be built again. And I'm going to make strong people glorify thee, and the cities of the terrible nations are going to fear thee. And he says, for I'm going to be strength unto the poor and strength unto the needy in their distress. I'm going to be a refuge from the storm of their catastrophe. I'm going to be for you. Now listen, my friends. Here's one of the great secret keys to victory deep in your consciousness. I am going to be a shadow from the heat and the blast of the terrible ones when the storm comes against the wall. You hear that? Now what does this mean? That I will be a shadow to protect you from the blast. More than that, he said, from the blast of the terrible ones. From the terrific heat when that storm comes against the wall. You and I are the children of God's kingdom. We are the wall against evil. We are the power that shall remain. And when they hurl their nuclear missiles, and when they hurl their weapons against us, the Almighty said, I'll be a shadow in that day. I'll be a shadow from that heat. And when the blast of the terrible ones come, I'll turn it aside. And I can assure you that there are archangels and space fleets standing by that can turn the power of the enemy and drop his weapons back upon him. I am absolutely convinced that we are on the edge of the greatest miracles and the greatest manifestation of divine power the world's ever witnessed. And in the midst of this, there's going to come recognition upon you and the children of God of who you are and what your power is. And the light and glory of faith is going to shine upon you brighter than the sun. I'm going to tell you that the enemies of your nation are going to be afraid to dwell in the midst of a land where the people carry the light of God. And every Jew is going to leave America that's capable of it. And every enemy of God's kingdom is going to leave. Someone said you shouldn't talk like that. Well, we better talk like that because we're standing between heaven and the devil downstairs. You might not know it. In the auditorium downstairs is the Baha movement. And it's half full of Negroes down there and pagans and worshippers of every demon god on the face of the earth. And we stand between them and the heavens right now. And we bind and curse that that stands beneath it and call for the judgments of God to wipe it out as an institution. They shouldn't talk like that. Yes, it's time to bind. Time to bind. We curse that which is below that worships every false god and every idol and every institution that makes its covenant with it. For this is the hour, my friends, where that power of darkness shall be swept from your nation and from your land. We tell you that this is a new day. We had better as a people be planning on the occupation which God has promised. More than that, he said, I shall not only bring down the noise of the strangers, and upon them shall come the heat in the dry place. The thing they've turned on you for a weapon will destroy them, even the heat which will come out of the shadow of the cloud which you shall send. And in that day, the branch of the powerful, terrible ones of evil shall be brought low all over the world. And in this nation of God's kingdom, this mountain, shall Yahweh of hosts make all the people to feast on the blessings of all the things necessary for their health and for their satisfaction, for their happiness and for their joy. And Yahweh will destroy in his kingdom the face of the covering that is cast over all the people and the veil that spreads over all nations. You know what that means? That veil is the shadow of death. That veil is the fear of death, destruction, the unknown. And he said, I, in all my kingdom, in all the white nations of the Western world, every place where your race shall dwell, in all my kingdom, I will destroy in this my kingdom the face of the covering cast over the people, the veil of death that is spread upon nations, and he shall swallow up death in victory. And Yahweh thy God will wipe all tears from all your faces, and he will rebuke all of his people, and he will take away from off of the earth the judgment, for Yahweh has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, he will save us. This is Yahweh, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I want you to know that this is the key to victory. So when you look at the United Nations, you look at it like Isaiah saw it, back in the 26th chapter. I see that thing folding up, crumbling. Maybe it'll blow up. That'd be good for it, too. I see it utterly defeated and destroyed. I see every power of darkness in this nation driven out. I see the strangers fleeing. I see the threatening bombs to no avail. I see the missiles turned back upon them. I see your clouds, the shadow of your clouds, blasting and destroying the forces of the evil ones. And I cannot see that. For there is a key here for victory. Someone said, how do you know? Because every vision God has given to his prophets and reborn in the mind of your race has come to pass.
Yes.
And it still comes to pass.
Yes.
And it will continue to do so. We are living in a new day, in a new hour, a greater day and a greater hour than we have ever had before this before. There are many things which, as we look out over the troubled world, we can well see that they have gathered to the palace of strangers. They have moved to the house of evil. It is the will of God that we not only get out and get out with great speed, but it is now his will that you bind and destroy every evil thing. So how are you going to do that? Because you that constitute the children of the Most High, spirit of his spirit, light of his life, have dormant within you a powerful ball of celestial light, a divine quality in your nature, and it is that Christ, that divine nature of the Most High dwelling in you, that's going to be the hope of glory to every atom of your being and to the whole body, and it's going to rise and envelop and shine upon you, and you'll know again what Isaiah said when he says, arise and shine, for thy glory has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon thee. The world can be in darkness, and in gross darkness can cover the earth, but the kingdom of God shall move forward in glory. The secret key. The secret key is for you to recognize you have a divine, that you are dwelling in a tabernacle of the Most High, that you must reach in to this secret place in your meditation and fill the soul consciousness of your being with every great and powerful thing that God intends to do. Until it so permeates you, you live in victory and no power can touch you. You say, how do I know that that's the greatest power? There is no greater power than the thoughts and mind of God. It holds every atom together. It's the mentoid moving through space that forms new atoms tomorrow. It is the thought power of God that makes all things work according to His purpose. And you are the body of God in the world, and it is divine spiritual power, thought power in your celestial being, transferred to your soul consciousness. That's the vision of everything that's properly built. And as that catalyzes in strength in the children of God, we move into the new day of immortality and spiritual force. And the light and the glory of God is going to cast down every design that the enemy has within our nation. I want you to know that we have fallen to great depths in the past of despair. There was a day when only Elijah and 7,000 people in your whole race had not bowed the knee to Baal under the pressure of tyrants whose names in those days were not Kennedys and Eisenhowers and Roosevelts. They were Ahab and Jezebel. And in that day, the Spirit of God moved on Elijah. Elijah did great exploits, even though he trembled in his flesh. You know, one day he defeated all of them on Mount Carmel, and a few days after that he was hiding. But he came up out of those moments as the Spirit moved upon him. And before God got through with Elijah, he had utterly eradicated the evil as the instrument of God from the kingdom of Israel. And he so triumphantly carried forward the vision that he discovered in that secret place. As he let the mind of God fill his mind, that he just couldn't die, you know. You see what I mean? They couldn't kill him. He couldn't die. In fact, he'd have been here yet if God hadn't sent a chariot for him and taken him out of space to a later period. And he didn't die. The horses and the chariots of the kingdom of Israel, the mighty ships of space, carried Elijah into the presence of the Most High. Oh, he's been back and forth several times. He was there during the days of Christ's ministry on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we declared last week when he was talking with Moses and Christ. Peter, James, and John stood by to see it. The Spirit of Elijah is today hovering over God's people. It's moving behind the altar, and it's going to stand as a striking power between the people and the enemy as the voice of God moves out of the pulpits of this nation, and the nations of God's kingdom rally to the leadership of the outstretched wings of the eagle. You're an eagle, people. You're eagle's fence. That's why he that abides in the secret place of the Most High also is abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That's why he says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt find his fruit. Let me tell you this. This is but a symbol of the great and mighty nations of the outstretched wings of the eagle, of the kingdom of the Most High, whose emblems of power and triumph for this victorious day are in the eagle. The lion marks the throne, but it will be the eagle that destroys the enemy. Lifts the snake high into the sky and drops him to his destruction. And I'm going to tell you that this is what you must remember and this is what you must face. You must see America not the polyglot mass that they would make it. You must see America not as the people who are in the auditorium beneath us. You must see America filled with the sons and daughters of God, reflecting His light in glory. You must see this nation cleansed and victorious. You must see every political office in your nation filled with Christians that will stand for your race and for your God. You must see this. You must envision it. You must participate in it. And you must put your hand to make it so. And I'm going to tell you this. If ever you were in a happy place, it's here. You're the majority in America. 140 million out of 180 million people are white Christians. Somebody has got you mesmerized, hypnotized, and mentally bound if you let 40 million control America. I'm going to tell you the day is about over. A new day is dawning. And I want you to know the great secret key to victory. For the victory has to be in your soul. You've heard that all your life, victory in your soul. Well, that's where you think. That's where you live. And if you've got victory in your soul, and more white men get victory in their soul, and pretty soon a third of your race or a quarter of your race in this nation or a half of it gets victory in their soul, the amount of light and power that's going to move out is going to be indefeatable. I tell you, tonight is an hour of great significance to our race. We're standing at the midnight hour, and we know we're going to have triumph over the beast. I just want to say this concerning that victory God promises over the beast. John already saw. Remember that John was a man just like you. And he heard a voice say, come in hither. And he saw a hole opened in the atmosphere. It's as though that wall suddenly merged into a sort of plastic nothingness with a door opening in it. He heard a voice say, come in hither. And John walked right in. He might have been in he was in the spirit on the Lord's Day meditating, but whether he went in or out with or without the body is a question there too, but he went in. And he traveled up and down the tracks of time through experience. He ate, he talked, he heard, and he visualized, and he saw tomorrow. He saw you, your race, his kinsmen, saying, we have the victory over the beast. We have the victory over his mind. We have the victory over every pagan people and every pagan power. We have victories over Africa and over Asia and over Jews and over everybody else. And we're singing praises unto our Father, from whence comes the light and power, which is our life and light, and from whence comes our victory. This, my friend, is the victory that overcomes the world. It's the victory by which you possess yourself. You know, one of the reasons why the enemy can never destroy the children of God's kingdom, why he never can stop the thing which God is doing, is because they live in a frame that he can't reach. This is something some people don't understand. They say he can shoot at the guest, but he can never hit it. Because your consciousness is dwelling in a plane that he can't reach. You say there have been a lot of martyrs, but this isn't the day for martyrs. This is the day for victors. This is the new age. We strike at the enemy in the world he lives in, because you can't reach him where he doesn't live. But we victoriously triumph where we do live. And I'm going to tell you that the spirit in you can be like a shield of spiritual life and energy around you, like a wall of fire about you. It's time that you sound the voice of the Most High. You listen for it, it is not in the storm. And like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others who sought to find it, they had to find it the same way. It's not, my friends, in the rush of the fire, the shaking earth, the spewing volcano. These are but balances of energy, but you're listening for a voice. And finally, after you've gone from one end of the earth to the other, sometimes men knock at strange temples and tabernacles. Sometimes they listen to strange speakers. They go from one end of the world to the other, and they say, I've been everywhere, I've heard everything. I've looked at every catastrophe, and I've looked at every creation, and I haven't heard it. Because it didn't go in the temple. You can go into some big temples and never get into your own. And when you reach your meeting place with God, you'll discover that you have moved your consciousness into the very holy of holies of your own being. And you have believed every word that came out of the mouth of God, and it has illuminated and filled you with glory that can be never taken from you. And until you come out of that meditative experience, and you look in the mirror, as we said a week ago, and you behold in that mirror, not your reflection now, but you transferred the face of Christ as it has filled your horizon and as it filled your soul. And then you realize that that's your reflection, for you're being changed from glory unto glory, even into that same glorious image. Not the same features of the countenance, but the same emanating glory that marks the Son of God, a daughter of God, with triumph and power. We have come to earth to conquer, and so we shall. We are a master race by God's own begetting, and we shall triumph. I shall tell you this. The binding is just beginning. We are beginning to feel the surging inspiration of God as it directs first this direction and first that direction. I tell you that you can start binding the darkness. Each time you bind it, the hand falls. Each time you bind it, the death angel moves against the Egyptians. Each time you mention it, your enemy heals. The passing of Dag Hammarskjöld was a judgment of God against the United Nations. And lest we fulfill the right purposes, and lest our leaders take us out of it, God's judgment shall continue to fall. And as His Spirit guides, we shall bind, and the judgment shall fall. And it will happen across this nation, among God's men and God's women. For we shall cleanse this nation, if God has to send a death angel to do it, or we shall rise to protect it, as God inspires us as a society to fulfill. But this is our victory. We know who we are. We know from whence we have come. We know how to contact our Father. We know how to put on glory, because He's told us how. And we know that in one moment, in a twinkling of an eye, every last one of the children of the Father are going to put on His glory. They're going to think as He thinks. And we who are alive and remain unto that day are not going to hinder every celestial son of glory being re-embodied in an indestructible body. And we also shall be changed in the very atoms of our being. That's what God's talking about through the lips of Paul, in Thessalonians, in Corinthians, and in this book. So we tell you this afternoon that there is a great key to victory. It's in your faith. For this faith is the living function of living as a knowledgeable child of God concerning His covenant, His power, and your heritage. And I want you to know that it is a fearful thing for the powers which are against your God to fall under the wrath of the Most High. I want you to know that the instruments that you wield, even more powerful than the weapons in the technological field which God has given to your scientists the ability to create, is the mighty power which the Spirit in your hand and the Spirit within you to direct as a catalyzing force. I can tell you it can give life and it can stop death. I can tell you it can envelop the world with blessing or it can destroy that which is evil. There is no greater power than the power of the Spirit with its conscious will that holds the universe together. It can make it again. I want you to know that you are the seal of eternity. Therefore, have this faith that He is in who you are, from whence you come, and our knowledge of the power that is within.